Hallelujah. Let's hold our hands together and say these words after me. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. As regards pneumaticus and walking in our own, we receive clarity, accuracy, and precision in the teaching of your word. Today, the reality of your word is dawn in our hearts, and we walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Matthew 28 from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, that's the word Father, exousia, has been given unto me in heaven and in the earth. It is going therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. So what we're doing today is we are bringing, I'm taking us through two different approaches. So we'll be knitting them together a bit. So then you see the nexus between what I was doing within, I heard that some people were like, why is Pastor going this route and going this route? Maybe, especially when I told you, actually I suppose some of you didn't know, but I said it the last teaching. Right. So you will begin to come close. Amen. 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 So we're going to see the nexus between what I'm saying there and there together. Hallelujah. So the teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He said, he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. It says, in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall bring them to death, they shall not fall there. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Oh guys, keep the serpent part. It says, and the sick shall recover. So then, when the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. So very vital, like I said to us, I said, this will be Jesus' closing remarks, as we said, right? And very vital is what Jesus did, what Luke recorded that Jesus did to them in Luke 24. He said, he opened he their understanding, verse 45, that they might understand the scriptures. Before that, he showed that he taught them. Hallelujah. So that teaching is what John will call he breath of them. Hallelujah. Emphasis also breath upon. Now the breathing upon also when he put his nose on them and was breathing on top of them. That is a shorthand for he taught them. Hallelujah. That was the shorthand that Jesus taught them. And we'll find that Greek word in Ezekiel chapter number 37. Hallelujah. And that will be their words. You see that? So that is the 40 days encapsulated in words. Encapsulated in the word emphasis. He taught them. Now when he taught them, Luke recorded that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Hallelujah. And they might comprehend, that is, they came to understand. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So they understood the scriptures. At that point in time, they got saved. Hallelujah. They got saved. Now, what did Jesus do immediately they got saved? He gave them an assignment. He gave them an assignment. Some people say, no, I don't want to give my disciple an assignment. I don't want him to start preaching yet. I want him to know the word first. No. Hallelujah. He told them immediately to go preach the gospel. Hallelujah. To go preach the gospel. Very vital. Hallelujah. That means the believer's primary assignment in the earth is the gospel. The gospel. Preaching the gospel. And raising disciples. That is the believer's primary assignment in the earth. I remember one time I belonged to a youth fellowship of my parents' church, and it was time they began to read a book on discovering purpose. Well, I didn't join them because I already know that I know purpose already. So I was being a bit naive, but years later, even coming to ask the people what was the book about, it's going that people were trying to look for career paths. No, the purpose of a believer is primarily the gospel. Open your ears. It's primarily the what? The gospel. That your purpose in life is to be a singer. Why did
God create you? God did not create you that talent, that hidden talent you have. That hidden talent, you know,
someone like Pastor Wilson is still finding his talent.
That hidden talent.
So he sings, goes up. Oh, sorry. Not wisdom. Wisdom is even trying. Okay, let's say diction. He's trying to find his talent. So his thing doesn't work. He finds himself in media thing. Say, okay, let me see if my talent is in media. Oh no, your talent is not there until you discover he's got Batulax. He say, oh yes, that is my purpose in the earth. Amen. Amen. So that there will be clarity, he's got Batulax.
Hallelujah.
Go to God. So what is your purpose?
Then my purpose is to be a copper show my life. No!
Can I see some crazy thing happening 50 years? People are going to dig up their pictures and put it online. I saw the one, I was just laughing. This. Who is putting you under pressure? And then I said, who is putting you under pressure? 50 years. You are under pressure. Prayer. You know your grandma will call you prayer. You are under prayer. Prayer. The believer's primary assignment is not your PPA. Okay, the believer's PPA. Without PPA is not in the day. The PPA of the believer is the gospel. Right? Amen. And the place is in the earth. Amen. Amen. So that means the primary thing that should affect a believer's decision in life. I just want to say this. Hallelujah. You know, I felt led to do this today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe not for you directly, but for men that will listen to this afternoon. And also for you. Because men will also hear some of this from your mouth. So what affects the believer's decision should be primarily the gospel. Amen. God starts in the earth. Any decision, marital decision, and I'm saying marital decision. You don't marry who you love.
Okay.
Pastor, where are you going with this?
I don't know. We don't marry who you love. You marry God's word first. Let God's word direct who you love. Hallelujah. Maybe that's better said. But well, the problem is to regard for people who hate that marriage. You know, people can think anyhow.
Yeah. Even your marriage decisions. I was thinking something this morning. I said, people make a lot of mistakes, especially in our world. You know, we just came out from a world, and we should be careful. Why am I doing this? We should be careful. Because we came out from a world where we are revolutionizing some things. We are fighting some things. Why? The world before us, when I mean world, I'm not talking about the generation before us, their parents will choose a wife for them. Hope you know that. You want to marry, you just marry. Pastor, Wilson wants to get married because he's a single guy, bloody single guy. Just call the father in Taraba. Say, daddy, I want to get married now. You should start looking for a wife for me. That is how they used to do in those days. So they begin to go from family to family. They will call you for the fair people. When they see all these fair girls, you don't know now. The whole world, what kind of woman do you like? Is that like a tall, fair? They don't want to go to a short woman. I don't know why. So, fair, tall lady. So it's okay. Such one. You go to this village, you go to this village, you go to that village. Let's go look for fair, tall ladies. Now they gather all the fair, tall ladies by name and their family names. They begin to do family search. Do you see that? You do family search. They say, oh, we found two. Now it's time for us to make a choice. But let's look at some other fundamental things. They don't go down and do something. They say, oh, we found one, the right one. Then the guy will now come. He'll come and plug the apple or the leaf he's never found in any family. So now, the generation after that is now fighting that. So what people now do is, no, I'll be the Lord. I'm married right now. So they found that was the major reason why in that generation, men will beat their wife. You know, men were called wife beaters. So, you know, I want to marry who I love, I want to be. I don't marry who I love. That is a, how do they call it? That is an aluta. And I've always said this, be careful of what you are, how do they put it? Careful of what you are fighting against, because you end up becoming what you are fighting. A lot of times, I just said it to someone recently, I said, what, how that person ended up is what he was fighting. Sometimes we want to fight, we are fighting the way our parents handled us. So we end up being like our parents, because that's the only thing you saw. Okay, so you must allow God's word. So God's word is the major thing there. You have to do it by God's word. And you trust God's word. Okay, everybody. So because if I marry who I love, I will not be the person. You just be, did not think marriage should just be love. So you just get married like this. You just be love. I'm going to have an issue with my wife. We just live in the holy matrimony. Pastor, he tried to say you had to ask. Hello, Pastor. He said this. He said, "Let me just say it. We will run." You say you marry somebody you never had a misunderstanding. That means someone of you that are dumb. You must be misunderstanding. Then, you know, just when you get married, I will just be doing love. Some people use movies to get there. Okay, movies. They act 50 years of somebody's life under 2 hours, and they take away some part, and they're not showing you love. When you see, when you get married, if you see my, you'll be going, I'm teaching after 2 weeks. I do not see my again. Cinema. Not the cinema. Who do cinema on our phone? Yeah, right? It's not the cinema. He said, I just get married. My younger sister there, years back. You know, so when we get married, say, we were small, I was not married then. So when we get married, say she will just be in Wonderland. There is too much Barbie. It's too much Barbie. It's only Wonderland. So some of them get married, that is why I not just love all the way. So they look at what they now end up. They now end up being like their father. Do you want to be one that they now love? That's boost. Did you see that? Did you see that? How have you ended up? Like your father. So that means you have not actually done anything different. If you have did it better, they went to marry somebody from you from Canada. Okay, everybody. So that's it. Don't start to yes, sir. You don't need to do it. Yeah. Okay, follow me. So that means, even in my marital decision, what should play a major role should be what? God's word. Very vital. Every decision. Vital decision. Hallelujah. So if this isn't at the center of your decision making, it shows that you have an identity crisis. It is not at the center. You have an identity crisis. You don't know who you are. You are living, you are not living the believer's life. The believer's life is that the gospel guides every decision of your life. Hallelujah. You also guide where you're supposed to serve. Oh yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the believer's life is first about what? The gospel. Hope you're following me. It's first about the what? The gospel. Very, very, very vital. So did you see? Somebody is planning Jata. He didn't plan the work of ministry. You know it's outside God's. Jata. You know guys always reading. Jata. Hello, Jata. Jata to you. Come on. So back to our topic. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now, we said the background will be what? Strife. Right? Right? Now concerning spiritual things, brethren, I won't have you ignorant. But when I say right now, the background will be strife, unbelief. Right? Unbelief. That was 1 Corinthians 11, 17 down to 21. Right? Unbelief, strife, divisions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said that a believer who walks in the flesh, his conduct is not different from that of an unbeliever. Right? His conduct is not different from an unbeliever in nature. The unbeliever's nature but, and the conduct of the believer are not different. Though that believer is born again, he has the nature of God. Hallelujah. So what Paul did in 1 Corinthians 12:1 was that he changed the narrative. Look at where the issue was. The issue was in that gathering. So what Paul did is now he's not saying it's not food. Did you see that? It's not food. When we gather, it's not food for spirituals. Did you see that? Right? It's not food for spirituals. It's not the flesh but the spirit. How are you following me? Hallelujah. So he said, I will not have the ignorant. Which is the word for willful ignorance. I will not have you ignorant. And that willful ignorance there is in the application of the things of the Spirit. And that is where we are going to stay in this series, in the application of the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Paul is saying when he says concerning spiritual, he's talking about, he's going, you see that where he's going to focus, his focus on chapter 12, 13 and 14 will be on the practicability of the things of the Spirit. And it will be in the gathering. Amen. The practice of the Spirit, they will be in the gathering. So that means the church at Corinth walked in the flesh. We know that already, right? They walked in the flesh. Hallelujah. So Paul, you know, if you get down to the background, in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, I couldn't speak to you as you are, as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. Did you that? Babes in conduct. That's what nepios. Nepios is not a state of Christian growth. No. Nepios is, if you read the word nephews, he was referring to their conduct. So their conduct is baby. It's like an unbeliever. Okay, for baby. Hallelujah. They act like naive people. Babes. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. But Paul's solution in chapter 12, verse 1, will be what concerns spiritual, right? And that solution will come from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Did you see that? Right, this is all in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, or the heavens in the earth. So that would be supernatural, right? The supernatural world. I would say the Bible opens up as a supernatural book. So the Bible is a supernatural book. The Bible is not a geography book. It's not a science book. The Bible is a supernatural book. Heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth. So we say when we hear the word heaven and earth, we say the earth will be an interplay for both the natural and the supernatural. But the supernatural will be found in the earth. Did you see that? The supernatural ethos is not a distance, or put it this way, is not a distance away from the earth. It will be found in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. So the earth becomes an interplay between the supernatural and the natural. We said that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we now say the reason for the spirit, reason for Genesis 1:3, will be because God wants man to function effectively between both worlds, right? So the spirit in man, who that? The spirit in man is to, for man to be able to function effectively in both worlds, right? Hallelujah, because man is supposed to interact. So when I get back to Genesis 1:2, I'm doing a quick recap of what we said. When I get back to Genesis 1:2 and I see the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, we said the word tohuwa bohu will mean chaos, right? Chaos, disorder. Disorder, darkness. And I know the reason why I'm doing it, because last time we had this was 2:5, right? 2:5? That was last 2, so trying to come back to it again. Hallelujah. Disorder, chaos. I will say that darkness there will be man's heart, and it will be supernatural also. Hallelujah. Right? It will be supernatural. Man without the spirit. The heaven, the earth without the heaven. It says it's darkness, chaos, disorder. So it's not supposed to be the earth without the heaven. It's supposed to be the heavens in the earth. Did you see that? So the earth alone is disorder. The heavens in the earth is light. But the earth without the heaven is darkness. So Paul makes you, Moses makes you see that. right? It's darkness. Darkness. Glory to God. Darkness. Showing you that man's problem is supernatural. Man's problem is not natural. Man doesn't have a natural problem. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. It's supernatural. In Genesis 1:3, God now says, let there be light. You say, we look at that word, let there be light. Or yeah, light be is the word higher all. Which is, I am light. I am light. So God offers himself as that answer. I am light. Jesus speaks that in John chapter 8 verse 12. Says, I am the light of the world. You see that? I am the light of the world. So Jesus is saying he is the God of the scriptures. Hallelujah. He is the God of the scriptures. Very vital. And we said that is the fact, the main bone, the pillar of the Christian life. Jesus is God. A denial of Jesus as God of the scriptures is a denial of the Christian faith. Is a major denial of the Christian faith. So Jesus is God. Jesus is not a kind of God. Jesus is not a look-alike God. Jesus is God. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Not in this year, but we're going to see that as the year goes by. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So we said God offers himself as the answer to man's problem. And it says the light was good. What the light was good. So the word good there is the word proper. No, there was this order. God says the heavens and the earth, which is light in darkness, is good. You see that? Is good. Proper. That means darkness or the earth without the heavens is not proper. It's not good. So that means when I get to Genesis 2 verse 18, where it says it's not good for man to be alone. That will be the earth without the heavens. You see that? Genesis 1:2, the earth without the heavens. And it says, it's not good. I will make him and help me. Is that? Is that will be the light? You see that? Is that will be the heaven? What are you following me?
Hallelujah. Is that will be the light? Is that will be the heaven? So God offers himself as the solution. Hallelujah. So man's problem is supernatural and God is that answer. Man's problem is not a moral, is not moral. Hallelujah. 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 Or the solution to man's problem, the solution to man's problem is not moral. Amen. Morality isn't the solution to man's problem, of course. No. Japa is not. You have to leave Nigeria to go to UK. Go there. You have not to solve the problem. The problem is supernatural. People don't get to see that. It's supernatural. You know this Japa syndrome? I don't want to talk about it. But I'm going to talk about it. Not as in another forum. When we are all there. This Japa syndrome started after in fact. Because I'm now rules of the people. You don't see that. It's supernatural. Every year you don't see Japa. Even when you want to Japa, your family member is telling you, who's your Japa? Nonsense. You're not telling, look at your mate, he's in Australia. Look at your mate. You know me put yourself under unnecessary pressure. It's not pressure, it's prayer. Amen. Some people say, man's problem, answer to man's problem is money. Talking to somebody yesterday, I said, how are you? He said, Sapa want to kill. Which one is Sapa? I know you're Japa. Which one is Sapa? He said, there's Japa, there's Sapa. I said, okay. Confirm. It's not only Sapa. Okay. He says, money. I need money. That is your Sapa. I thought it was Owu. Owu they deal with me, but now I heard it's not Sapa. Adi? Or Sapa? Is anyone? Amen. So the solution to man's problem is not Sapa, have you? The solution is not Sapa or Sapa. I don't know, or Sapa. I don't know. The solution is not a political leader. Did you see that? The solution to man's problem is not a political leader. Come on, I give yourself three.
Man naturally is selfish. Everybody that did that for you guys that will go for his stomach first. His stomach infrastructure before you any infrastructure. He's out. But the solution to man's problem is supernatural. It's God. You see that? It's God. God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that answer is in our mouth. It's in our hands. Hallelujah. That is the gospel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Now imagine a believer who has the answer is now behaving like the unbeliever that don't have the answer. Unbeliever jata, you too jata. So go and do what? Unbeliever say, Tata oh, Tata oh, you say, Tata oh, Tata oh. You've not discovered identity then. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, hallelujah. Come on. So, Moses will now prefigure God's solution, which is heaven and earth, as the word tabernacle, right? Right? We say the tabernacle is a mini temple, and the temple is a mini earth. Right? Glory to God. So the tabernacle is a mini temple, and it will be heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. And we say the heaven and earth is a family fact. We said that last week on Sunday, right? It's a family fact. Heaven and earth. Family fact. Heaven and earth will be the local church. Right? The family fact. Amen. Okay, let me not get there. Please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following. The family fact. The local church. And God said it was good. I guess this was where we stopped last time. God said it was good. So let's get back to Genesis 1 and get into the teaching. God said it was good. Genesis 1 to 4. And God saw the light that it was good. Is that the solution? Is that the solution? Is that the tabernacle? Is that heaven and earth? Come on! Is that heaven and earth the solution? Is that the family? Glory to God. It was good. So what did God begin to do? He began to divide light from darkness. Very vital. He began to divide light from darkness. Now that word divide there is the word badal. Badal is used for how you sort out. How you sort out. How you separate. Hallelujah. How you sort out, how you separate. So, God began to divide, separate light from darkness. Light will be the spirit, darkness will be the work of the flesh. You see that? Will be darkness, the works of darkness. So, I said something the last time that I want to know. If he says rightly, I said, now when a man receives the spirit, he began to divide. No, a man doesn't divide. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, hear me. When a man gets born again, his role is not to divide. God has done the badal. Okay, hear me. God has done the division. It's not for the man to divide. No. Amen. Okay, hear me. The man doesn't do this division. God has done the division. The role of the man is to discern God's division. What God has divided. Man is to discern it and walk in it. Okay, hear me. Man is to discern what God has divided, the light from the darkness, and walk in the light. Okay, follow me. So man's role is to know what God has divided, to know the works of the Spirit and walk in it. Hallelujah. So man is to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not in darkness. So God has done the division, you discern it and walk in it. Hallelujah. So the order is what? The Spirit. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Then, dividing the works of the Spirit from darkness. Hallelujah. So, for that is for God. For us, the way is to receive the Spirit and do what? Know the work in the Spirit, right? The work of the Spirit and walk in them. Is that? Is to receive the Spirit, know the work of the Spirit and walk in them. That is for us. Hallelujah. That is for us. So man is not to divide. God has done a division. When you say man is to divide, you know what that does? Man can divide anything. Call the work of darkness, work of spirit. It's not for you to divide. It's for you to walk in what God has divided. How careful are you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the church at Corinth
Do they have the Spirit? Do they have the Spirit? Come on, 1 Corinthians 2:11. Did you see that? 1 Corinthians 2:12. You receive not the Spirit of this world, right? 1 Corinthians 6:11. You are and as suffered some of you, you are sanctified, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are glorified, right? Hallelujah. So we have that too. So the believers in Corinth or the church in Corinth are saints. This is that they have the Spirit. So the next thing for them to do is to identify the works of the Spirit and walk in them. This is that? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So what was Paul's rebuke to them in 1 Corinthians 11:26? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 quickly. That's what Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians 11. While I put 26 there, okay. Are you there? Okay, verse 29. I wonder why I put it in C. 29. Therefore, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, right? Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. We're going to see why Paul used that word damnation to himself. Not being what? Not being what? Did you see that? Not being what? Discerning the Lord's body. Now, what is the Lord's body there? What's the Lord's body there? Is that heaven and earth? Is that God's family? Amen? Amen? I mean, they don't discern the Lord's body. Is that what the work of the Spirit? Is the Lord's body the work of the Spirit? That means they couldn't discern the Lord's body. Isn't that? In their walking in the flesh, you can't discern the Lord's body when you walk in the flesh. It's not possible. Hallelujah. Just very significant.
Hallelujah.
Very vital there. Amen. So Paul, in rebuking them, said they didn't discern the Lord's body. Hallelujah. What God has done. So, track back a bit. That means the Spirit brings order. Hallelujah. In the Spirit, what we have is order. And we have to walk in it. So, when a man gets born again, he receives God's order to walk in. Very vital. So, very vital. So, Moses did the same thing to the children of Israel. When they left Egypt and were in the wilderness, and I taught you here that the wilderness will signify our walk in the world today. Right? Right? Our interaction in the world today. So, in the God of the wilderness, what did Moses do to them? He gave them instructions. Hallelujah. Instructions. What are those instructions? Those instructions will point to walking in the Spirit. You know, I read that to Rock in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when Paul said we should do more as they did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. You see that? Hallelujah. So where did they get that instruction not to more? Moses. Do you see that? Moses. Glory to God. How are you following me? Moses, not to murmur. So that means the instructions that they received in the wilderness as the church. Now that instruction was not pastoral instruction. We're going to deal with all that soon. They received that instruction together as the church. Stephen will call it the church in the wilderness. So it was a decision or it was an instruction together. Hope you're following that. Together.
Hallelujah.
So they received the instruction together. So Moses will give them instructions that will point to walking in the Spirit. So, when Paul says walk in the Spirit, your mind goes to where? To Moses. It goes to Moses, goes to Genesis 1:4. What God has divided. Hallelujah. What God has divided for you to walk in His order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses is giving them instruction of what to do and what not to do with people. It's with food. 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 In their world, we're going to deal with this also. Unclean animals. So animals were tagged unclean. Moses didn't tag any animal unclean. They are warm.
Okay, following me.
So Moses just picked up what was unclean in their world and gave it to them. And says, now these unclean animals, you're not supposed to eat them. But they will make you unclean. Okay, following me. And he listed that. He says, animals that have splitted wounds and chew the cob. They said that they were not to eat. Glory to God. Amen. Did we see some of this last week? On Saturday. Oh, okay, I took you here on Saturday. Saturday.
Sunday.
Huh? Sunday morning. Sunday.
It was upper Saturday.
Okay. Glory to God. So, you see? So, animals, unclean animals was used to identify, was used in their word for what they don't eat. So Moses picks that and now uses it to illustrate, mark what I use. Moses now uses it to illustrate the unclean works of darkness and they are not to eat it. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So Moses uses it to illustrate the unclean works of darkness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So very vital. So the reason for Moses' instruction on unclean food was to point to his instruction, right? His instruction to walk in the Spirit. So that's just it. He tells them to walk in the Spirit. Now what have they seen in Egypt? More. What have they seen? What have they seen in Egypt? Oh, dishonor. Right? Hatred. Right? They see those things in Egypt. So, Elijah says, no. You don't act that way. Amen? You don't act that way. You shun that to act this way. So he now brings in the animal. To use that animal to illustrate. Jehovah Yahweh, isn't that animals to illustrate these are things you shouldn't do? So, look at what Isaiah did in Isaiah 52 verse 12. Isaiah picked that and says that to, look at what Isaiah does. Isaiah 52 verse 12. Isaiah writing for Moses, look at what he says. Verse 12, it says, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you. And the God of, I mean, verse 11. It says, depart ye, go ye out from there, touch no unclean thing. Did you see that? Touch or go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, and bear the vessels of the Lord. Did you see that? Is that the walk in the Spirit? Is that the walk in the Spirit? It says, touch no unclean thing. Hallelujah. Very, very vital. Very, very vital. So therefore, that will walk by God's leading. He then tells them in verse 12 that the Lord will go before you. That is the leading of the Spirit. So you are not to walk in the flesh, but to follow the walk of the Spirit, or the leading of the Spirit. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, look at what Paul says there. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Let's see Paul. Verse 14, let's see Paul. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communication has light with darkness? This is, it says, I won't call as Christ with Belial, or what part has he that believeth with infidel? It says, or what argument has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temples of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, Come on, wherefore come out of them and be ye separate. You see that? Fear the Lord and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It goes again to who? To who? Moses. Did you see that? Touch no unclean thing. Therefore, you have the spirit to walk in the spirit. So when it says, come out of her,
that is, he's telling believers, come out of her. He's not saying believers need deliverance.
Come out!
No. And when he says, come out of her, it's conduct. Come out from the, the word community, and that's the relationship now.
Right? Now he says, come out of the world. Come out from the practice of the world. You should have no fellowship with the world.
When you walk in the flag, that's what it means. When you walk, they have no fellowship there. They come out of heart. Amen. You are in the spirit, so it's reminding you of the instruction to come out of heart and be a king. Touch no unclean thing there will mean do not walk in the flesh.
Hope you're following me. Hallelujah, don't walk in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. So we began to say that. So the believer is to understand that. Walk in the spirit. So on Sunday,
we said that
tabernacle, right, will be God's family. Right? Will be God's family. And it will point to the spirit amongst us. Did you see that? So that means even amongst us.
You know, remember, Paul writing to them in Corinth was about their gathering. Amen. And he's saying, you don't have, the way you relate to the brethren, you shouldn't copy the practice in the world. Hallelujah. You don't copy the practice in the world in how you relate to brethren. No. You don't copy the practice of the world in how you relate in the church. No. Hallelujah. You don't. Hallelujah. So in Exodus 25, from verses 18 to 9, God will say to the children of Israel that they should do what? That he would dwell, that they should make him a sanctuary, that he would dwell amongst them. Hallelujah. So that tabernacle was to point to God in their midst. God is in their midst. The Spirit of God amongst us. I will say the emphasis of the Spirit alone in us is not good. You must have that strong emphasis also on the Spirit amongst us. Amen. You know, we have the Spirit in us. The Spirit in us is very nice. I'm not saying you don't have the Spirit in you. It's in you. Then say we have the Spirit upon us, right? But you don't neglect the Spirit amongst us. Because when you get to meet those people who are extreme, I don't know the Spirit in us. It breeds selfishness. I'll share some stories with God bless you. Because of time, I can't do that today. Hallelujah. It breeds selfishness. Believers who get so selfish. I've seen you. Hallelujah. I have stories. Amen. Amen. I don't know, the Spirit in us, I've seen, in fact, it brings rebellion. Amen.
You know, someone wants to say, you don't kill creatures, it's God's creatures. And to the person, wait until mosquito bites you. Then you don't kill it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. So, where were we? Like, for example, look at that word. It says, the Spirit in you treats you as though you are the only man in the world. Ha ha. I said, what I think I've done to brethren. Brethren. Some people can breed rebellion. The church, it says, you've got spoke. Papa is saying this is the direction we are supposed to go. I don't even know. The Spirit of God in me is telling me to go like this.
No!
Yeah? No!
Rebellion! I'm going to share some of those experiences. I have them. I wrote them in the last section. But I didn't talk about it. I have a lot to share.
Amen. I've seen selfishness. Hallelujah.
But you know, when you have that consciousness of the Spirit amongst us, I told you what it does, right? Right? Reverence amongst one another. Hope you're following me. You must be, the same way you are strong about His living in me, you must be strong about His with us too.
Hallelujah.
He's living in us, He's with us.
Scripture also makes strong emphasis on the Spirit with us, that is God the Spirit in us. We mustn't lose sight of that.
Hallelujah. I told us last time that that wasn't getting lost on us. Hallelujah. The Spirit is with us. Glory to God. Everybody hearing me? Amen. We have strong emphasis on that. The scriptures. Now we said the Spirit with us brings caution. Brings caution amongst us. That sense of the Spirit with us brings caution. It breeds reverence. The miraculous. God, it brings that God is leading me in the local church.
You know what they had with Moses? God is leading us together. Take note of that. God is leading us out together. God leads his church together. Come here, hear me. God leads his church together.
Don't breed selfishness. No, don't. The Spirit of God will never inspire selfishness. Because selfishness is a work in the flesh. What are you hearing me? The Spirit of God will never breathe. Will never breathe. Something that will never breathe. We're going to deal with all that next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, just only focusing on the Spirit in us, extreme people. I'm always careful of them. Extreme people will carry fight from them.
Oh yeah. They'll carry fight. Hallelujah. In Matthew 28. Lo, I am with you. Did you see that? I'm with you. Were you talking to one of them or all of them? All of them. I am with you together. The Lord working with us. Or is the Lord working with me or with them? Is it with them or with this? God working with them. Did you see that? So you will
see that emphasis of the Spirit amongst John 14, it will be with you. John 14, 16. It will be with you. I will not leave you orphan. I will come to you. You see that? Hallelujah. Paul too, in addressing the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 quickly. I'm supposed to round up anytime soon. 1 Corinthians 3 now. I want to get to this point. Corinthians 3. Are you there? Look at verses 16. He's addressing their gathering. He's addressing them together. In verse 16, he said, "Know ye not that ye are the temples of God? Ye are." Who is the ye? Is it one person or all of them? All of them. Ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God does what? Let's do that together. Come on, the Spirit of God does what? Hallelujah. So we are God's temple together, and the Spirit of God in us. Don't be following me. We are God's temple together. God's temple together. So that if any man defies the temple of God, is it himself or the garden? Is it himself or the garden? The garden. Do you see that? Amen? This is where you say your bodies are the temple. But it says, first of all, address the temple as our gathering together. Don't be following me. That you shouldn't be defiled. Who can follow you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when it says you are the temple of God, your mind goes back to what? Exodus 25, right? Right? I will dwell amongst them. Very vital. I skipped something very vital here. Matthew 18:20. It says when two or three are gathered, right? When two or three are gathered together in my name, say there am I in the midst of them. So God is in our midst. In the gathering. Amen. Can you now say, you know, I thought of something here. I said it also going to the first conversion. I said mentally go together to edify yourself. We're going to see why this is vital.
But when I know that while we are together, two of us are together, we are in charge of it in our midst. If I recognize that God is in our midst, I will not hold back God's word for you, that will edify you. Do you see that? Amen? You must come to that, you must come to terms with God with us. Let's verify one another. Amen. Sometimes you find people are giving them so much. That's not like a good person. Oh, yeah. I see Canada. Which Canada? What Canada are you saying? Oh, yeah, I said no, sir. I have a dialection of the local church.
Yeah, there are sometimes you just learn to. I'm going to teach us sometimes how to be hot. That, you know, someone say, Pastor, it's now cold.
It's not that. I actually know what I'm doing. I'm expecting your pastor to take up what I taught 10 years back. Sometimes I overlook a lot of talent.
Active.
Right?
I step
down for
them
to step up.
You know,
I decree that you may increase.
Yeah, it's just a reason. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing it very well. Amen. Okay. Let's round this up, please. We have limited time now. So, in 1 Corinthians 5, they not had an erring brother. A brother had his father's wife. That is not his mother. Amen. The guy had his father's wife. And what did the church do? The church did nothing about it. You said? The church did nothing. Everybody kept quiet.
Yep. That would have just been man of God. Everybody knew it was known that he did something wrong. Everybody just kept quiet. Pastor did not say what? Everybody just kept quiet. How are you looking?
Do nothing. And Paul. What did Paul do? Amen. Paul dealt with their gathering first. Before he dealt with the guys, Paul what dealt with them together.
Yeah, there's nobody amongst you that can deal with this matter. Amen. He dealt with them first.
Dealt with them well. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. He now said something in verse 7. From verse 6, I want you to see that. From verse 5, it says you should deliver such a one to the Satan for the destruction of flesh. That is also you should rebuke that one. Right? In verse 6, it says your glorying is not good. No, you're not. That the living, that a little living living and the whole lump. Remember what I showed you about living on Sunday? So the living will use what is wrong, corruption, right? What is not good. That does not know that this little thing you are having, listen, everybody will start doing it, everybody will talk. You say your role as a church and a pastor is in this business. Amen. So when your pastor rebukes you, or I rebuke you going forward, is so that we will save your, you will save you. It's part of it. Amen. I heard your pastor just rebuke you, and I know it's part of it. Hallelujah. It's part of it. It's part of the Christian growth. And when you are rebuked, say thank you, sir. Correction received, sir. Amen. You don't get angry and you again. You have just walked out of God's will. Amen. You know what? So the role of the church is to rebuke also for correction. Amen. So when you hear a little living living at the whole lump, I say you are supposed to deliver the one to Satan to it for the destruction of the flesh, right? You save the person. What comes to your mind, brother? Who comes to your mind? Is that Moses? Is that Moses, Aaron, and Miriam? Is that Moses, Aaron, and Miriam? Mother Miriam and Aaron did something that was wrong. That was wrong, sorry. And they were rebuked. Who rebuked them? Revelation of God. God did. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul's correction, Paul's correction to the church shows that we must do something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hope you're following me. We must do something, we must not allow such a thing to go. So as we go further in this teaching, I close. I will go further from in this teaching. One thing we must know is that God is dwelling with us. This must affect our fellowship with one another. How we relate with one another. It must affect how we see one another. God is working with us. God is with us. Hallelujah. That means if we know God is working with us, that things it will affect it. Hallelujah. We must see each other's weakness and strengthen each other in our weakness. When you identify a weakness, you don't expose something that is strengthen. Hallelujah. How about following you? Well, if we
1 Corinthians 8, just a chapter after, as we go, 1 Corinthians 8, I'll read verses 13. Why did I say 1 Corinthians 8 here? I started again. A minute. Okay. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 4. It says, as concerning therefore eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He says, for though they be that are called gods, whether in heaven or the earth, as there are many gods and not many, but to all there is one God, the Father of all things, we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. So, Paul is saying, we know an idol is nothing. You hear that? We know an idol is nothing. For he doesn't say, he doesn't bring to me, but it is not, this knowledge is not to every man. Did you see that? So, he identified that some people don't know that as an idol. So that means my own Lord is not to start glorying in what they don't know. You should know the Lord's thing. What is the Lord's thing? And they start to hear that. You don't know anything. No. Yeah. You mean the God that God said that he says, I don't eat properly. You don't eat properly? No. You don't know the word. No! Come on, baby. With the God that appeals. If you eat salara, you're going to have fire. And you don't go salara, all that, you know, when you have caught the person very well, you cannot eat salara. Yeah, very much more suitable, right? But you don't see that person, that's how salara. Now, you could have, now somebody could say, Pastor G, Salara, I don't know, but I do, man. I'm waiting for next month to go, man. Is it not June? June is the day, we have some bodyguards. We have some people that will go to their wedding. You need Salara. It's passing for God. And I don't want to hear, I'll give you the word. So sister, I'm talk about it in love. I thought you saw that his sister in the Lord. You don't know that church. I don't even know the word. Now say, you do it. You're just talking about it. You don't have to leave my baby that I'm not talking about. Hey, boy. I will not be around and ask question what it is. I just left. Yeah. Why? Look at verses 13 as we go. Look at what Paul is saying. There's nothing. Every man, that knowledge, so he said something in verse 13, that will now form the, how we walk towards one another. Look at what he says in verse 13, he says, wherefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, did you see that? I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. Meat, I make my brother to get offended. Did you see that? Hope you have seen that. Why? Because of the brother's father. He knows that if you have to see that he gets into the teaching. How about following me?
That means because I understand, amen, because I understand that we are friends. I'm on the accord. It's time for Christ. I'm on the accord. Amen. So that means if you are doing a pastor, you know pastor is coming, you know pastor wants to be proud, so you should be proud. No, you make a
mistake. Amen. For my pastor's sake, I will not make rice. I eat rice no more. Amen. Hope you understand what I'm showing you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I read something here. I must be ready. The life of the believer is the sacrificial life. The sacrificial life. We'll see all this in the coming weeks.
We have many more sections to go. A lot of sections of these teachings to go. And I trust the Lord. We will change our orientation about ourselves and we see ourselves, how we are gathered, how we treat ourselves.
I know we don't treat ourselves badly, but you know, it will go, we will see a light. Sometimes there are some things that we've done, maybe out of ignorance, because we don't know, we didn't take note of it.
But you know, you will see God's light in every of those areas.
Hallelujah. Amen. Not when I'm done doing, when we're done doing, no, see, just because we're pastor speaks to you, you know me. You know me, I don't take nonsense.
For the brethren. But sometimes you have to take nonsense.
What are you doing? What are
you doing? Don't you know?
Let's turn our feet up and thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord.